right, we get this thing, this recording going. Okay, what is the purpose of prayer? There are many reasons to pray. J.I. Packer lists 7 distinct activities or reasons for prayer. Approaching God in adoration and trust. Acknowledging His work and His worth in praise and worship. Admitting sin and seeking pardon. Asking that needs be met for ourselves and others. Arguing with God for blessings, as Jacob did in Genesis 32. Accepting from God one's own situation as He has shaped it. And finally, adhering to God in faithfulness through thick and thin. We're going to unpack some of these as we go in today's lesson, and we'll pack some of the others later on in the class. One way to remember the purpose of prayer in simpler language can be explained using the acronym ACTS. Has anyone ever heard of this before? The acts of prayer, so to speak. We're going to break it down. The letter stands for adoration or praise. Actually, you would call this praise more than adoration. We don't use that language, but the A works where the P doesn't. So we're using adoration. The meaning of that is putting into words the gratitude that ought to swell up in our hearts whenever we review all that God has done for us. In expressing adoration, God is certainly worthy of our praise and our adoration. While we can praise God in song, we can also praise God in prayer. Some examples of adoration in prayer is when Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He took time to praise God. That's in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Let me also stop right here. I meant to say earlier, I'll be referencing a lot of scripture, but we won't be actually reading a lot of scripture, but they will be in your handout, so you can read them yourself. But because of time, we won't actually be reading a lot of the scripture, but I will be referencing them. And what I just referenced in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, in verse 21, he talks about to Him be the glory, talking about God. David proclaims an example of offering adoration and praise in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. In verse 10, he says, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel." Verse 11, he says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory." Verse 12, he says, "Wealth and honor come from you." And in verse 13, he says, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Any questions on adoration and praise? Yes, sir.
In summer camp, when I was a kid, we changed adoration to acclamation.
Reclamation. That'll work.
There's a minor difference in definition. Yeah. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it seemed a little more appropriate when someone tried to rationalize it.
Acclamation is acknowledging, I guess, to think off the bird.
It's more than acknowledging, it's acclaiming.
Claiming? Okay.
It's a holding up.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it was a very minor difference in it.
And it's an A, so it would work
exactly.
With our act.
Exactly.
So, anyway, any other questions on adoration and praise? All right, well. Going to our second letter, C, is the word confession. You cannot enter the presence of God in prayer without confessing. We read that in Isaiah 6, 1 through 5. Verse 5 says, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." When it comes to confessing our sins, there is mercy to be found in confessing one's sins. In Proverbs 28, 13, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And then number 2, the Christian enjoys cleansing of sin by the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. Verse 7 talks about the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And verse 10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us." Some examples of confessing sins. Jesus provided an example in the parable of the Pharisees and the publican in Luke 18, 10 through 14. Verse 13 says that the tax collector stood at a distance. He beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." David is an example of his confession of sin in Psalm 51, 1 through 13. Verse 1, he talks about, blot out my transgressions. In verse 2, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And finally, Daniel acknowledged sin in different ways in Daniel 9, 4 through 6. In verse 5, he says, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the world, the land. Any questions so far? Okay.
It's going to be like your teen
class. It's going to be like the teen class. It's okay. How long can I go, by the way, Leroy? We started at 10:49.
Like 40 minutes.
40 minutes. The way it's going, I only need 15. What? Don't worry about it. We're okay. Confession has a big effect upon our physical health, too. In Psalms 32, 3 through 7, verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. Still in verse 5, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. When it's talking about bones in verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. What are we talking about? What is the reference? It's our physical body. Do what, Zach? You're stuck in death. But he's talking about here about our physical body wasting away. Not talking about if we don't confess our sins, we're going to immediately start wasting away. What he's talking about is a death. Right? Any comments or questions?
Sins, we will waste away. We will, God can't forgive us if we don't ask for forgiveness.
Right.
It's also a scripture in the Old Testament. It's God's word is available
to
my body.
Yes.
And I carry that with me here in my cancer treatment. That was real special.
Right. Yeah, I was in a seminar one time in Atlanta, and this was the basis of that whole seminar. Was confession and then our physical being that comes from it.
Lynn, I have a question.
Certainly.
In all the wonderful Bible studies I've had here the last 3 years, I thought I heard many times, I mean, I'm all for confessing, but I y'all correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that we didn't need to ask over and over for forgiveness of our sins.
I knew this question was going to come up.
You're welcome.
I'll pay you later. Did everybody hear her question? Her question is, if we're a Christian and our sins are forgiven, why do we have to continually ask for forgiveness of our sins? Bob?
I continually sin.
Okay.
Okay. I think also it's an act of humility before God.
Okay.
That it takes Jesus' blood to cover our sins, but He does want us to be aware of that gospel.
Okay.
If you don't feel bad about your sin, then you're intentionally sinning.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel bad about it, you need to ask for forgiveness. I think you need to ask over and over for it. You need to work on not doing that sin. And asking for, it shouldn't just be asking for forgiveness, right? It should be asking for help.
How to stop doing it. David?
It goes back to, even before we pray, God knows what's in our hearts. Well, why do we pray?
Yeah.
Does that mean we stop praying? Heavens no.
Yeah.
And yes, God, Jesus' sacrifice does cover, but it doesn't change our attitude, and we're still thankful that He's covered that. We still I think it's more of an acknowledgement. Number one, an acknowledgement that Jesus has covered, Jesus' sacrifice has covered that. And number two, reminding ourselves that that's where we are. Because frankly, you know, it's like advertising. Think of McDonald's back in the 70s or early 80s. Over one-third of all breakfasts were eaten at McDonald's. Why? Because you couldn't go more than 5 minutes without seeing a breakfast McDonald's commercial.
Yeah.
And that was true in America. And it's the same thing. We remind ourselves so we don't forget. We keep our position right. But it's an acknowledgement and a reminder to ourselves.
Okay.
But if you're not repentful, it's not forgiving.
No, it is not. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's yeah.
Now, there is the thing that, and you'll hear some people pray sometimes, forgive us of our sins, I'm going to paraphrase this, our sins that we don't know about or don't realize we've made. Anybody ever heard that? What is it, sins of omission, I think is the term. Because you've never heard of that? It's not an Oklahoma phrase. Not in Louisiana either? Oh, it is in Louisiana. It's a southern thing. It's a southern thing. But
let's remember it all of them. We knew what we were doing.
But yeah, we're trying to cover our bases. What we're trying to do is realizing humbly that we are sinners and we're going to sin, and we may sin against someone and not realize it, and on we can go with it. So does that, we've kind of come around in different ways, but does that answer your question?
So I'm all for confessing, and I will certainly start. I just thought I learned that, you, like what I said, so I'll get busy.
Yeah.
I don't think it invalidates a prayer.
No.
In no way. Because again, it goes back to the God knows what's on our heart before we even open our mouths. I think there's no way
on your heart.
Yeah. Jerry?
Let me go back to 1 John.
Okay.
A little bit behind you here. Just a great reading there, verses 7 through 10 there. And it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins.
Mm-hmm.
To me, one of the greatest weapons that Satan has is to convince us personally that we're not forgiven.
That we're not sinning.
Carry that burden with us forever, and it hinders us in our work with the Lord.
Yeah.
But the Lord here says, I'm going to forgive you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what Christy's touching on. Or maybe that's what I got when I heard your question. If I've asked God to forgive me of a sin, and I believe that He's forgiven me of it, and I don't necessarily have to bring it up to Him again unless it's one that I can't get rid of. And so therefore, but I think as human beings, you know, you think back on things and say, God, please forgive me again. It's something that 30 years ago, you know, and you go, well, He's,
yeah,
that, you know,
yeah.
We don't have to do that, but as humans, we still do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I was fixing to say. Sometimes we can't forgive ourselves. So, Bernard?
He basically stole my thunder.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean, something you did 30 years ago, I mean,
yeah.
Do you continue? You don't have to continue to ask God for forgiveness because
yeah.
He said He's just that He's going to forgive us of that. But we continue to sin, so we still need to ask for forgiveness for those things omitted or unconsciously. Whatever.
Omission and commission.
What if I forget to ask for one that
I love to model the Lord's Prayer a lot of times when I pray for people.
We're going to be talking about Lord's Prayer a lot in a couple of weeks. So. Yes. But go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, part of that is to forgive us as we forgive others.
Yeah.
And so in order to, it helps me when I'm doing it to ask forgiveness, because to me as Christians or just as people,
mm-hmm.
So if I can remember to just constantly say, Lord, forgive me and help me to forgive others the way you forgive.
And sometimes
it's a good thing to ask Him for to help keep our hearts in the right direction.
Yeah. Zach had his hand up first.
I've lost it.
You've lost it? Okay, David.
I think it's been said
Yeah. Okay.
I paraphrase the parable about the widow who went to the leader and asked repeatedly. I can't remember what she asked for, but she asked how many times should she go, and she was. But the other thing is about the devil of a weapon. I love that reference because pride has two sides as a devil of a weapon. Number one, pride, I don't sin.
Yeah.
There's also a pride that, oh, my sins are too terrible. That is actually a that God can't forgive him. That's another form. That's the other side of pride that we don't really think of. And the devil uses, and it is most definitely a weapon. It's a severe weapon.
Yeah.
I can beat not me.
Right.
Question.
Yes, sir.
A sin that we're too prideful to think that we can be forgiven of. Aren't we questioning our own faith when we do that?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Or should I say lack of faith?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dead on.
Because if we believe wholeheartedly that God is a just and forgiving God, regardless of what we do, okay, if we are sincerely repentful of that and confess that sin to God, God will forgive us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Any other discussion on this confession?
I think he wants us to confess it so it's top of mind.
Yeah.
So that we're thinking about it.
And like somebody says, it's a humbling experience,
not,
too.
Not just blowing it off. That didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the T is for thanksgiving. Adoration is for what God is. Thanksgiving is for what God has done. When it comes to offering thanksgiving, being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations and prayer. One example is Ephesians 5, verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The antidote to anxiety is to pray for everything with thanksgiving. That comes from Philippians 4, 6. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Is it sometimes hard to ask or to pray for thanksgiving when you're in the middle of going through a storm? I mean, storm of life or problems or health situations or whatever?
It's easier when times are going well.
Okay.
When times are bad, that's not first and foremost in your mind.
Right.
The things that are causing you heartburn and worry and stress are what's first and foremost on your mind. And that becomes a little bit difficult for you to say to God, I'm thankful for all that you've done for me. I try to look at Job,
mm-hmm.
who was in, to me, the most stressful situation that a human being can be put in, but he was still thankful to God.
Yeah.
He still kept God first and foremost in his life. And the example that we should all learn from that is that if we do that and persevere, first of all, God's not going to put any more on us of what we can bear.
Right.
But he will reward us for our faith as he rewarded Job for his faith.
Right.
Now, he may not do it in the very same way as he rewarded Job, but still we will be rewarded.
We will be rewarded, yeah. Teresa? Yeah. Yeah. Right. What if we can get to the point we can find the good in the bad, so to speak. Yep. Jerry?
I just had a thought. We were in Gulf Breeze some 20-something years ago visiting the church there on Sunday evening. And so the closing prayer came up and the person doing the praying was behind me. And I remember he went on for 5, 6, 7 minutes in his prayer, thanking God for every conceivable blessing that any of us could ever have.
Right.
And so I'm thinking, that's really a thankful person. So when he was behind us, he said amen. And then I turned around and we were getting ready to leave. And he's sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh, really?
And something like that. Yeah. Any of us,
yeah.
If you saw something like that. I thought, what a beautiful prayer on Thanksgiving. And he named everything he could ever be thankful for.
Yeah.
And we're leaving him. He's sitting there in a wheelchair, brother.
Yep. Anything else? Some examples of offering thanksgiving. Christ, of course, is the big one. Christ setting an example of thanksgiving in Matthew 11, 25, 26, Matthew 26, 27, John 6, 11, John 11, 41. We could go on and on and on. Daniel was also one. He had the custom to thank God three times a day in Daniel 6, 10. He talks about three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed. And on the other hand, ingratitude is sin. Luke 17, 11 through 19, particularly verses 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. What's the backstory here? Does anybody know? Luke 17, 11 through 19. What's going on? This is the healing of the 10 lepers. When Jesus heals the 10 lepers, people with leprosy. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. 16, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? In other words, what happened was Jesus healed 10 people with leprosy. One of them came back and thanked him. The other 9 left. And that's the question that Jesus is asking here, or Luke is asking what Jesus said, was, didn't I heal all 10 of them, 10 of you? Where's the rest of them? So ingratitude can be sinful. In Romans 1:21, For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Is it hard to be thankful at times? And we kind of discussed on that earlier. Yes, ma'am.
Kind of going back to that, I mentioned this when we had a smaller group in here, but in terms of, I think it's very hard for us to think in, when we're in the valley or we're in the storm, but even as little things come up throughout the day that maybe we're quick to anger or we have an issue with, those are continued when we don't thank God and we allow those little things to fester, become painful. And one of the things that like we do, not every night, but with the kids, when we do pray before we go to bed, and one of the things that I do with them is that they have to tell me something that was good during the day and something that was bad.
Okay.
So we pray and we thank God for the good things.
Yeah.
We thank God for whatever's bad, so that, and it's helped me too to remember and to keep a mindset, even as, you know, you're 30 minutes late. I'm not looking at you. I'm not speaking myself. Maybe even fender bender or whatnot, that there's some good that comes from it. And I think that just even each day reminding myself of that has changed how I look at things. And so the bigger obstacles in the valley don't seem so large.
So big, yeah.
Because
you're dealing with the little ones all along.
And so it hasn't filled up and changed the behavior
of myself. Yeah. Did I see a hand over here? No? Okay. The final letter is S. That stands for supplication. When it comes to making supplication, we are encouraged to let our requests be known to God. It's in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your request to God. So what can we ask for? What can we ask supplication for?
Wisdom.
Really?
Health.
Wisdom?
Daily needs.
Resisting temptation. Very good, Todd.
I saw the notes earlier.
It says resting temptation.
Yeah. Oh well. It does.
Yeah. It does say it there.
My note says resisting. So what it is, I do my notes, and then I do the handout, and then I come back to the PowerPoint. And sometimes if I make a change anywhere in between, sometimes I forget to go correct all the others. So anyway.
The handout is good.
Yeah, and that's the reason you can go back and look at the handout on your own. So, but yeah, Todd is right. We pray for his wisdom, health, our daily needs, and resisting temptation. We're commanded to make supplications for all men. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says, petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. And that includes the elected officials you did not vote for. Right, Joanne?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I picked on you. She wasn't paying attention. Okay. But yeah, we're told to vote. We're told to pray for all elected officials. That's from the local mayor all the way up to the president and everybody else, even the ones we didn't vote for.
Now, the Bible doesn't say elected officials. It says
authority.
Yeah,
anybody in authority. Yeah, yeah. So even they're not elected.
Kings and dictators.
Exactly.
And everyone else.
Yeah. And of course, you have to realize when this was written, there was kings.
Exactly.
It wasn't elected officials. It was kings that usually came up through the family ranks they beat out their brother in a war or something. So. Yeah, yeah.
Another word that could be up there is courage. After what Todd talked to us today about, I mean, a lot of us probably need to pray for courage along with that wisdom to be able to invite,
yeah,
go out.
Yeah. Oh, this is not a complete list. I mean, you know, this is just some things that I found. Some examples of making supplication. In 1 Timothy 5:5, we read about the real widows, known for their supplications day and night. We talked about some of that last year. We find Solomon made supplications to the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings 8. Jesus made supplications as he was crucified in Luke 23. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And then Stephen, as he was being stoned, what did he say? What was his prayer? Anybody remember in Acts 7? Similar, almost the same thing. Lord, do not hold this sin against them, what Stephen said as he was being stoned. We're also told to make intercessions for others. Supplication is a humble request, either for ourselves or others, while intercession is the act of intervening or mediating between two parties. Christ intercedes for us in Isaiah. Of course, this is not Christ personally, but it is a reference to Christ. As I think Vaughn read this morning, Isaiah 53. Also in Romans 8:34, Hebrews 7:25, Hebrews 9:24, 1 Timothy 2. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us as we pray. That's in Romans 8, Jude 20, and Ephesians 6. And we should intercede for other men. We read that in James 5:16. Confess your sins to others and pray for each other. Acts 8:24, pray to the Lord for me, was a request from Simon. 2 Peter 2:1, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Exodus 32:11, Moses is praying, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power? Moses was praying on behalf of the people there. He was praying to God on behalf of the people. Genesis 18, what's going on in Genesis 18, 23 through 33? Anybody remember that story? This is where Abraham is negotiating with God for the saving of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's negotiating on behalf of Lot and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And remember, and he starts out with 50 people. And God says, okay, if you can find 50 people, I'll save them. Then it goes down to 45, and it keeps chipping away. And finally, verse 32, what if only 10 can be found? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. But when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home, because there was not 10 people in the two towns. So that's just an example of Abraham really going to bat for the people there. Any questions on supplication and intercession?
I got to say, I have used the Acts prayer since before I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Every single time, especially public prayer, I always remember the Acts prayer.
Yeah.
And this is to me, a very important structure.
Yeah. And this is being your handout, plus some bonus you'll see in a minute. All right. With the aid of a simple acronym, ACTS, we should never forget the purpose of prayer. Unfortunately, we often spell our prayer life sometimes like SCAT, because we start with supplication and spend very little time, if any, on adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Is the Acts formula for prayer biblical? Well, no, not really. In the fact that it's not in the Bible. But it can serve as a guide, especially when we are learning how to pray, like David said. So remember, prayer isn't a formula, and each prayer doesn't have to cover every type of prayer. God wants us to talk from our hearts and express ourselves to Him. Any questions or comments?
The Lord's Prayer actually follows the Acts structure.
Very closely, yes.
Very closely.
Very closely.
It's extremely similar.
Yes. And in a few weeks, we're going to actually get into the Lord's Prayer a little bit. You'll see that more. Here's today's handout going around. Yes, sir.
Just a comment.
Okay.
I have the wrong one.
It's a long time ago. A prayer, first of all, has to be from the heart.
Yeah.
But one of the things that prayer does not have to be is within a specific time limit.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I've seen and listened to prayers that bordered on being a sermonette.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And if that is what is coming from the person's heart, then that is a correct prayer.
Correct.
And I've seen prayers that are very, very brief. So brief that you're saying to yourself, is it true? Okay. But once again, you have to look at, is that prayer coming from that person's heart? Okay. And if it is, that's what God wants.
That's the important thing, yes.
Yeah, that's the most vital thing.
Yep.
Prayer must come from the heart.
Yep.
Okay.
As long as there's no ramblings and that sort of thing, which we'll talk about in a few weeks. But
right, like I said,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be a sermonette.
Right, right. Now, this is today's handout going around. Last week's handout is on this table here in the center. So if you did not get one, unless you want to go to the website, which that's what it's there for. All right. Here's another version of the five, what they call the five finger prayer. This is on the page 3, I think, of your handout. And it covers basically the same thing that the Acts prayer formula does, but it kind of blows it up a little bit, kind of goes into a little bit more elaboration. And also here's another version, which you'll have on the back, I think it's page 4, of the same thing. And it's just, again, just a little variation of the same thing. So you'll have versions of all three of them now. So you have no excuse how to develop your prayer, right? Anyway.
I like that last one.
The one in color?
Yeah.
So anyway, any questions, final questions about the purpose of prayer? Next week we're going to talk about what is prayer, and we'll actually start unpacking a prayer in itself and prayers in itself. And then later on, if you notice, those who did not get the handout has not gotten the handout yet from last week. Those 17 or 20 items on the top are the different topics that we're going to be covering. Hopefully, some weeks we're actually going to be doubling up. So don't let that bother you. Because some things are a little bit doesn't take as much to go into. And they kind of build on each other. And some of the verses, some of the scripture that we may talk about one week, we may repeat in a different class because it's targeted into something else. So sometimes verses have several meanings and several lessons in them. So any final thoughts or questions? Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Well, let's do that right now, real quick. Heavenly Father, as we depart from this place, we ask that you give us traveling mercies so that we can reach our destination safely. And we pray this through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.